Life is a gift from God, and what you do with it is your gift to Him. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us about living life on purpose.
You think you can hang around that old worldly crowd that doesn't affect your testimony? You think they don't say you're a hypocrite? My friend, if we're in church on Sunday and during the rest of the week, we're just living and acting like the world, we are hurting the influence that God is giving us so that we can glorify Jesus Christ. You see, there's a connection between who you identify with and how much influence you have.
Few people have a plan for their lives. Most are spectators, watching their lives unfold one day at a time. As a result, many end up discouraged and disillusioned. But it doesn't have to be this way. You can live your life on purpose, and it begins with letting Jesus take control. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our series, Living Life on Purpose, will help you discover God's plan for your future and allow you to intentionally live the life He has created you to live. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Planning Our Influence.
There's good motivation and there's the best motivation. You say, I don't want to steal from the company. I might lose my job and I won't be able to pay my kids. Those are good motivations. But the best motivation is, I don't want to sin against my God. And when you start living with that higher motivation, you are a more mature Christian. In Psalm 51, after David committed adultery with Bathsheba, finally when he realized what he did, he said, God, against thee and thee only have I sinned. And it is a mature Christian who says, I want to avoid sin because I want to please my God. All right? We live with a God consciousness. In the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So Joseph ran from temptation. But I want you to see something that's equally as important. Joseph ran with identification. He identified himself properly as a child of God. Sometimes we know who we are on Sundays, but we forget who we are on Mondays. Say, what do you mean by that? Well, I don't have to convince most of you that you're born again Christians. Most of you are even Baptists, and most of you are members of Lancaster Baptist Church. You identify with Christ. You identify with His church. How many of you have been baptized in baptistry waters? Let me see your hands. Lift them up, all right? When you did that, you identified yourself as one that believes in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? So you know what I'm talking about when I say identify. Well, I want you to see in verse number 17 what it says of chapter 39. And she, Potiphar's wife, spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou brought unto us came in to mock me. Now, Potiphar's wife was mad at Joseph because he would not go to bed with her. And so Potiphar's wife goes to her husband and falsely accuses Joseph. And she refers to Joseph here significantly so as the Hebrew servant. And what I want you to recognize here is that this man, Joseph, never forgot who he was. Though he was in Egypt, he knew that he was an Hebrew. He knew that he was a child of God. He knew that he must live according to the law of his father, Abraham. He knew that he had a responsibility to live for God in this foreign land. Now, he knew this, and he identified with God. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 9 and verse 24, but let him that glorieth in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So here we see Joseph glorying in his identity in Christ, if you will, in his identity as an Hebrew, if you will. He was a man who knew who he was. And I want to say to you this morning, when you go to work tomorrow, don't forget who you are. We're not celebrating the culture in the sense that he was an Hebrew or that we are Americans, but in the sense that we are the children of God. Look at Moses, if you would, in your notes, Hebrews 11, 24. It says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures in Egypt, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So Moses, like Joseph, when he was in this place called Egypt, he said, I'm not going to identify with the Egyptians. I'm not going to bow down to their false gods. If I have to be ridiculed to take my stand, I choose to identify with the true and living God. And I want to challenge you this morning in this place called America in which we live. Don't try to identify with the world. Don't try to fit in with the world. Don't try like some Christian musicians who get popular and then switch over and cross over to the rock and roll lifestyle. Don't take your name called Christian and then move on into the world. But stand up for Jesus as a soldier of the cross, you see. And I want to challenge you this week, no matter where you go, no matter where your company treats you or takes you, may I encourage you to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't forget to identify with who you are and to glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you a correlation. I put the chart in your notes between identification and influence. If you will properly identify yourself by the principles of the Word of God, God will give you greater influence. Listen to me. This diplomatic, political idea that you can be all things to all people and that you can say all religions go the same place and everything's fine, that is not a way to increase godly influence. That is a way to dilute godly influence. So notice in this box here, Romans 14, 16, let not then your good be evil spoken of. Let's say that together. Ready, begin. Let not then your... You see, when someone says, I have a golf foundation so that I can be a good role model for all the young golfers, and then all of a sudden their life is in the headlines week after week. Listen, their good is what? Evil spoken of. Hey, when a preacher preaches the gospel and then all of a sudden there's a scandal and all of a sudden he's left his wife, hey, all of his good is what? Evil spoken of. How many of you this morning say, whatever's good about my life, number one, comes from God. And whatever good about my life that he has done, it is my prayer that it will not be evil spoken of. How many of you would say, that's my prayer? I want to steward my influence, right? Well, how can we do that? Four ways you need to identify if you're going to steward that influence. Number one, identify with your Savior. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Number two, identify with your spouse if you are married. Don't be ashamed to identify with your spouse. Fellas, I know I'm going to go ahead and just get on a little touchy ground here this morning. Some of you say, well, he stopped preaching there and he started meddling just a little bit. But when it comes to identifying with your spouse, go ahead and wear a wedding ring. I know some of you guys are going to tell me, don't come up to me after church. I work with equipment. I can't wear a wedding ring. All right, then put a bumper sticker on your backside then. How's that sound? The point is not jewelry. The point is a married man should not be ashamed of his spouse. The point is if a man sitting at Lancaster Baptist this morning is ashamed to identify as a Christian and as a married man when he goes on his next business trip, I'm concerned about how he's going to end up, you see. But if you want to steward that influence that you have right now, then don't forget to identify with your Savior and with your spouse. And thirdly, identify with true doctrine. You let it be known, I stand up for the Word of God. I believe God's Word. And 2 Corinthians 6:17, be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. It says, come out from among them and be separate. In other words, don't identify with false teachers and lend credence to them, lest you help them and lose your own influence. And number four, identify with godly friends. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 3:6, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which you have received of us.
Do you ever have trouble balancing all the competing demands for your life, from family to friends to church to career to finances? Balancing life is a challenge, and that's why I've written the book Stewarding Life. This book will challenge and equip you to strategically invest your most valuable resources for God's eternal purposes. You see, life is God's gift to you. The book Stewarding Life can be yours today as you make a donation to the Daily in the Word broadcast. Simply go to Paul.
Now let's get back.
Some of you may not understand this exactly, but when it comes to identification and influence, there are places where I will not preach. There are religious gatherings that I will never attend. And I've got more invitations to good, solid churches than I have time to fulfill. But there are some that have invited me and said, hey, we want you to be on this platform and sit on this platform and be a part of this campaign. And I will not go there because God has given me an influence that is revolving around the truth of His Word. I'll not sit on a platform with a clergy member who believes in works for salvation. If there's a citywide crusade and some of the evangelists in the last 50 years or so have invited Roman Catholic priests onto the platform to try to get a bigger crowd, my friend, I've got to tell you, we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. I'll not sit next to a Roman Catholic priest and give an uncertain sound and minimize the influence that God has given me with young preachers and with the Lancaster Baptist Church. You see, the fact of the matter is that your identification will always impact your influence. You think you can hang around that old worldly crowd? You think you can hang around those bunch of whoremongers and it doesn't affect your testimony? You think they don't say you're a hypocrite? My friend, if we're in church on Sunday and during the rest of the week, we're just living and acting like the world, we are hurting the influence that God is giving us so that we can glorify Jesus Christ, you see. There's a connection between who you identify with and how much influence you have. So that test of position was big in Joseph's life. He had to identify himself as a man of God. I must hurry. Notice number three, not only the test of persecution, not only the test of position, now the test of problems, the problems that Joseph experienced. For the sake of time, Genesis 39, please, verse 20. Joseph's master took him and put him into prison. Now here we see Joseph suffered wrongly. We see that even though he didn't commit any fornication or adultery, even though he had done nothing, he is placed in prison. And here we see that he is placed in prison undeservedly, but notice again what it says in verse 21. Notice in Genesis 39, 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Would you say that with me? But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Once again, the Lord was with Joseph. See, he was suffering wrongly, but God was giving him mercy all the while. Notice, secondly, Joseph waited patiently. Joseph waited patiently. Booker T. Washington said, there is no power on earth that can neutralize the influence of a high, simple, and useful life. You see, Booker T. Washington knew well what he was saying. He was a man that came out of slavery, a man who saw the grace of God in his life. He was a man who realized that in some economies he wasn't all that important, but that if he would live a high, simple, and useful life, that God would be the one to elevate him. And it was God that blessed the fact that Joseph waited patiently. Notice in Genesis 41 and verse 12, the chief butler says to Pharaoh these words, and there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew, there it is again. He said, that Joseph, that Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream, he did interpret. Now, for those of you that aren't familiar with the story, let me bring you up to speed. Pharaoh one day needs someone to interpret a dream. The butler says to Pharaoh, I knew a guy when I was in jail. He knew how to interpret dreams. He's been down there for 2 years. And now that Joseph had been waiting patiently, the Bible tells us that Pharaoh calls him up out of the prison. Now, some of you, you're waiting right now, and I can't explain why you are waiting. Some of you are waiting on an answer financially or medically. Some of you are saying, look it, I should have been a sergeant 2 years ago. I should have been a colonel a year ago. I should have been this. I should have been that. I should be making a lot more money. I should be a GS-14 in the government payroll. And I'm just waiting and waiting, and I don't understand why. Let me tell you something this morning, and listen carefully. God's delays are not God's denials. Say that with me. God's delays. Joseph was in prison for 2 years. For something he did not do. But God knew where he was the whole time. And God was doing something in his heart the whole time. And you know when you'll become a sergeant? When God says it's time. Do you know when you'll sell your business? When God says it's time. Do you know when that prayer is going to be answered or not answered? In God's time. And Joseph had to wait patiently on the Lord. And when he did, he passed the test of problems. First, he had the persecution of his brethren. Then he had the test of position. How would he handle prosperity? Then he had the test of problems. And finally, I want you to see the test of prosperity. Here was a man who's going to be elevated out of the prison and into the second in command in the entire kingdom called Egypt. Now notice in Genesis 41 now and verse 38 as we wrap this up. Genesis 41, 38. And I want you to see, first of all, that he was blessed by God. Genesis 41, 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Pharaoh recognized the presence of God in this man's life. And God was taking Joseph's willingness to wait. And now he's going to bless this man in a great and mighty way. David Livingstone was a great missionary in Africa. Some of you have read about him. No doubt you've heard the name David Livingstone. You've heard the saying, Livingstone, I presume. From 1840 to 1873, he went all throughout Africa, not just discovering plants and animals, but more importantly than that, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Livingstone, on one occasion, was exploring into an area that was ruled by a tribal chieftain, a man of great authority. And according to the tradition, as you would approach a particular tribal chieftain, you would have certain artifacts that you would make available. He could choose one, and he would have certain artifacts that you would make available, and you would choose one. You kind of exchange gifts, have a meal, and get to know one another. And if things went well that way, you could then visit with people in his particular area, in his particular tribe. On this particular occasion in the heart of Africa, Livingstone had hoped that he would be able to go to many more villages and many more tribes with the gospel. And as he met with this chieftain, he was not feeling well. His stomach had been giving him problems. And one of the things he had been doing to help physically was he was drinking goat's milk. More than the water from Africa, he was drinking goat's milk to help with his stomach. And so when he met the tribal chieftain came and gave him, for a gift, a stick. And he gave him this kind of like a walking stick. And David Livingstone was very unimpressed, but he understood the protocol. And so he laid out his watch, his books, his Bible, even his goat, other things were placed out there. And much to his dismay, that tribal chieftain selected his goat. Well, Livingstone was kind of discouraged about that. He was actually complaining to a few of his assistants about having lost that goat. And one of the tribal members overheard that, and he came to Mr. Livingstone. He said, sir, please understand, you have not been given a walking stick. You have been given the king's very own scepter. And Livingstone later wrote that it was with that scepter that he was able to go from village to village to hundreds of villages, and that God opened up the heart of Africa because he gave up his goat. And we learn from that story that sometimes when we think we got a raw deal, if we keep our spirit right, God is still working. God is still doing something in our life. And here we see that Joseph, despite the raw deal in prison, was mightily blessed by God. Notice, secondly, he shared his prosperity. Now, there's no doubt that God blessed him. But I want you to see that this man, Joseph, was willing to share his prosperity. So what are you going to do when you get the promotion? What are you going to do with that $2 more an hour? What are you going to do when God gives you what you think you so need? That's another test. And many leaders fail this test because God blesses them, but they don't honor him. Lord, I'll tithe when you give me the raise, but they never did. Lord, I'm going to be real faithful if you get me out of this problem at the trial that I have at court, but they never do honor the Lord. And yet we see that test of prosperity was something that God allowed Joseph to pass. Now notice here in Genesis 45 and verse 3, Joseph understood his purpose. It says, Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled. Look at verse 5. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Now stay with me. Jacob has sent his brethren, his sons, to their brother Joseph. They didn't know it was Joseph. He said, I want you to go down to Egypt. There was a famine in the land. People were starving. They needed food. And of all the people that those men who had betrayed their brother, of all the people that they're going to come face to face with, it's Joseph. And notice what he says in chapter 43. How's daddy doing? And they were troubled at his presence. Now, if you had sold your brother to slavery and had hoped he would die, and several years later you see him as the most powerful man in another kingdom, how many of you would be a little troubled at his presence too? I mean, they're shaking in their boots. This is as bad as seeing a lady on Black Friday with mace in her hand. But Joseph understood his purpose. Look at verse 5. God did send me before you to preserve life. Would you say that with me, please? God did send me before you. Say it again. God did send me before you the test of prosperity. Joseph didn't say, hey, boys, look at me. Look at the jewelry here. Look at my entourage. I have arrived, and you guys are going to suffer. Joseph didn't say, God blessed me so that I could be blessed. Contrary to the health, wealth, and prosperity teachers we hear of sometimes, it wasn't all about getting blessed. It was all about being a blessing. He said, God sent me here so that I could preserve life. You know why God blesses us? So that missionaries can go to Africa still with the gospel of Jesus Christ. God blesses us not to build a nice building so we can say, look at our nice building, but so that people can come and hear about our wonderful Savior in this nice building, you see. God's blessing is so that we can be a blessing. So Joseph understood God's purpose, but notice secondly, Joseph shared God's provision. Genesis 50:20. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now, therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them, and he spake kindly unto them. Jesus said in Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You see, Joseph, like our wonderful Savior Jesus Christ, he saw these men who had despitefully used him and persecuted him, and yet he was a blessing to them, and he used his prosperity in order to be a blessing to those in great need. And God gives provision and influence so that we can use that influence and provision to be a blessing to others. And I'm telling you this morning, everyone here has some influence in this world. The question is, are we using that influence for the glory of God? Are you passing the test that comes with that influence? Persecution, John Bunyan said, oh yeah, that's part and parcel with being a Christian. It's just a part of it all. Oh, what about position? What about being well known and having lots of opportunity? It's not about you, Joseph would say, and be sure to run from that temptation. Well, what about problems? Sometimes it seems like we have trials, and Joseph would say, I was in prison for 2 years. But just keep on waiting. God knows your address. But I thought I should be at the top of the flow chart and I should have a title by now. And Joseph says, but there's a test going on. Wait on the Lord. And then prosperity. Someone says, wow, I finally hit pay dirt. I can't believe it. I can't believe what has come my way. All right. It's one thing to pass the test in prison. What about when you're seated in high places of authority? Are you going to remember that God blessed you so that you can be a blessing to someone else? May God help us today to learn from the life of Joseph.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at allchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.